you know what? I prayed for you, I prayed for me, but I forgot to pray for the mic. My bad. All right, let me shut this off so we don't have a dead battery. But that doesn't change the title of my message. It's still making memories, memories that last. We all have memories. Some that we love to go back and relive. Others, well, if we were to be honest this morning, we wish that we could erase them forever from our memory banks. Every one of us has this in common this morning. We all have made memories. And if you're like me, given the opportunity, on some of those memories, we would love to have a do-over in some of those memories that we have created. So this morning, we're going to talk about making memories or memorials. Making memorials, making memories for those that follow us. We want to talk about three different kinds of memories. The first memory we want to look at this morning is good memorials. Good memorials. Tomorrow is a paid holiday for most of us, but it's more than just that. Tomorrow is when our country sets a day aside to remember, to honor, to recognize those that gave the ultimate gift. For those that gave their lives so that you and I could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. Human heroes, men and women that fought to make our country into a unique country, a country unlike any other country in all of human history. So with that in mind, this morning, what I want to do, I want to give you a quick trivia quiz, a memorial trivia quiz. Now, unlike Karen, where she answered the question correctly and we had nothing to give her, you need to pay attention because we have something to give you this morning. For those of you that do the best, for the one that wins this morning, we are going to give you, all right, you ready for this? I can feel the excitement building. We're going to give you season passes to all our home softball games, all right? And if you look at it, they're all, if there's three of you, you're all sitting in the same location. Section 3A, row 11, seat 6, 7, and 8. All right? So pay attention. This is important. Okay, first question is this. What town first created or celebrated Memorial Day? A, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. B, Waterloo, New York. C, Columbia, South Carolina. Or D, Washington, D.C. Okay? All right, y'all got something in your mind? Ron, Laurel, I said, you all have something in your mind? You have been shaking your head? No. All right. All right, guess, because the answer is Waterloo, New York. You're right. How many of you got that right? Okay. Yeah, two. Deb, did you pick that before Dan yelled it out? Yeah, and that was in there. Okay, excellent. So you guys are first in line for those season tickets. Question number two. The birth date of Memorial Day was August 27th, 1967, January 1st, 1795, May 5th, 1866, or May 1st, 1954. May 1st, 1954, that was a Memorial Day, let me tell you, for my parents. Yes, they never had a child like that again, which was very memorial for them. Yes, that would be my birthday, D. So if you pick D, I'll give it to you anyway. All right, how many of you said May 5th, 1866? Okay, some of you are still in the running. All right, third question. Memorial Day was first known as Decoration Day, A, B, Armed Services Day, C, American Holocaust Day, or D, Day of Remembrance? A or D? Barbara, what did you say? You said A? You want to stick to, is that your final answer? You are right. It is Decoration Day. Okay? All right. This is the fourth. How many of you got them all right so far? Judy, Deb? No, you lied. You can't say. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Or B or C. One of those are right. All right. This is the fourth answer. The fourth question. Memorial Day was changed from May 30th to the last Monday in May because A, it was easier to remember. B, so we could have a long weekend. C, to coincide with Ulysses Grant's birthday. Or D, Congress needed something to do that day. D could be right, yes. D might be right, but that's not the one we're looking for. Okay. All right. How many said B? How many want to change their mind and say B? You should, because that is the answer. So we could have a long weekend. All right. How many of you got them all right? Deb? Judy? Well, Judy, you already have a pass. Yeah. Deb? Just Deb? The only one got them all right? Congratulations. That's very good. Very applauder. Very good. They are priceless. That's right. That's why you need to bring your MasterCard when you come, because they are priceless. But Deb, you see someone and we'll get you some tickets. All right? That's right. Talk to the treasurer and see if it's in our budget. All right? Very good. My memories, memorials. There are many good memorials that have been erected to help us remember and never forget. Memorials such as the Washington Memorial, Arlington Memorial Cemetery, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, USS Arizona Memorial, and of course the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall. Good memories. Memories that we need to remember. Secondly, there are better memories. There's good memories and there are better memories. These are the memories and memorials that we have created. Our children are a monument. Our memorial. I remember Judy asking me to go in the delivery room for our firstborn, Jamie. And I remember telling her, no way am I going into that room. And I had a very good reason. I did. No, I wasn't afraid to pass out. My grandfather never went. I never went. I mean, my dad never went. So why do I have to go? That was my response. Well, before I knew it, the appointment was made, and I found myself in a Lamaze class. I know no one in the room. I know very little about childbirth. And I have a girl telling me how much Judy is going to enjoy me rubbing her stomach and getting her to blow during delivery. Do you know, obviously by the laughter, some of you know how difficult it is to convince them how much they want their stomach rubbed and how much they need to blow by the resistance you receive during that delivery. It was no different for me. Do the screaming words, "Don't touch me," and "Don't you dare tell me to blow again," mean anything? I remember when Jeremy, our youngest son, was born in Ticonderoga, New York. We had one room. It was just one room. All the walls were green. The only thing that was on the wall, no pictures, no nothing, just one clock that you heard tick every second for hours. Yes. And the room was freezing. Yeah, it was. It was freezing. Heidi, well, she was the only child that we had that we were able to have her give birth in a delivery room. It was wonderful. Had a TV. Had food. What's that? Birthing room. Yeah, I'm sorry. Birthing room. What do they call it? Oh, yes, the birthing room. Yes, right. although it was a delivery room too, but it was the birthing room. It was nice. Had food, TV, had our own private nurse. Matter of fact, had my own private nurse. She finally came to me and said, Brian, you got to get out of bed. Judy's about ready to give birth. It was wonderful. But what other kind of memories do we create? Maybe for you, it was that day where you received Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe it was that day when your eyes met the eyes of that girl that became your wife. Or maybe it was that day that your husband proposed to you. And if you hadn't helped him through it, you'd still be single today. Maybe it's those wedding pictures that your kids laugh at when you bring them out for them to look at. Listen, it's bad enough that my kids laugh. You don't have to laugh, too. Or maybe it was your first car. I remember my first car was a 1968 Pontiac Firebird. That was my first car. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. You gotta remember back in 68, it was purple with a white interior. It was one, had these fancy wheels, and it was jacked up. And as most of you know, I am the king of being able to remember the most useless things known to mankind. But whatever it was, we all make memories. These are better memories, memories that we create for our families. But we also create memories for those that follow us. I remember going to Jack Wurtzen's funeral. And I remember his children and his grandchildren speaking of their memories. Memories of their dad and grandfather. And of all the memories that they had, of all the famous people that they met because of their dad and grandfather, of all the places that they were able to go with him, I found it very interesting what they chose to share. His grandchildren spoke of his having to go to bed early at nights so that he and his wife could have devotions together before they went to sleep. I remember of his kids talking about when he was home, coming down early in the morning, the kids would come down early in the morning, and without exception, they'd always find their dad in his study, kneeling and praying. When I spoke at my father's funeral, I was amazed at how many unsaved people were there. This was a testimony to the spiritual impact that he had in the lives of people that he came in contact with. My mom, she died about 6 months after she found out she had cancer. And I remember Judy saying to me at her funeral, she said, Brian, your dad taught us how to live. Your mom taught us how to die. Memories. Memories we make for those that follow behind us. And whether we realize it or not, or whether we like it or not, we are creating memories for those people that follow us. Whether they're good memories, sad memories, or painful memories, will be determined by the choices you and I make. The story is told that Satan called a worldwide convention. In his opening address to his evil angels, he said, we can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from forming an intimate, abiding relationship experience with Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to church. Let them have those conservative lifestyles. But we will steal their time. We will steal their time so they can't gain that relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do, angels. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day. And the angels all shout, how can we do that? He says, well, keep them busy. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life. and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds, he answered. Tempt them to spend, and borrow. Persuade their wives to go to work for long hours, and their husbands to work 6 to 7 days each week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so that they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their family fragments, soon their home will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still small voice. Entice them to play the radio or MP3 players wherever they drive. Convince them to keep the TV, the DVD player, and their PCs going constantly in their homes, and see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music consistently. Remind them of all the things that they have to do so that they will put their verse memorization off until another week. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee tables with magazines, video games, and iPads. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Flood their inboxes with emails, their phones with texts and Facebook posts, as well as every kind of promotional, offering free products, services, and false hopes. Keep skinny, beautiful models in front of them on their TV sitcoms and on commercials so that husbands will believe that sexual beauty, eternal beauty, is what's important. External beauty is what's important. And they will become dissatisfied with their wives. That will fragment those families quickly. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted, disquieting, unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them go into nature to reflect on God's wonders. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts, and movies instead. Keep them busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they will leave with troubled consciences and unsettled emotions. Go ahead, let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their lives with so many good causes, they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. It will work. It was quite a convention. The evil angels went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busier and busier and busier and more rushed, going here and there. Obviously, we don't have any eyewitness account from this convention, but I would say that probably many of us, if not all of us, have experienced or are experiencing the outcome of that convention. We've allowed our lives to become so busy doing good things that often we have missed the important things. When your children or your grandchildren think of you, when they relive the memories that you have made for them, what do they think of? Well, they think of parents that have been too busy, or parents that did not involve God into many areas of their life? Would your spouse, your children, say that you have been working on making better memorials for your family to live by? Or as they look now, have we just become one of the byproducts of Satan's convention? Would your children, your grandchildren, would they rise up and call you blessed? We are making memories for ourselves as well as for those that follow us. See, be honest, our families don't need more stuff. They need parents, and they need grandparents, and they need friends that have more of God. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman or man who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Good memorials. Memorials that others have made for us. Better memorials. The memories that we are making for others. And then thirdly and lastly, the greatest memorial. The greatest memorial. To have a greatest memorial, you can only have one. God is on the cross. Spit and blood dried to his cheeks. His lips are cracking. His head is bleeding because the thorns are so deep into his skull. As he pushes up on his legs, they begin to cramp. His body is just reeling with pain. And although the breaking of his body is painful, the breaking of his heart is even more so. As God is on the cross, his mind goes back to friends, neighbors, and even some family, yelling out for his death. Jesus remembers looking into Peter's eyes and then watching as Peter runs after he denies Jesus three times. Jesus remembers being in the garden when one of his own, a disciple he invested 3.5 years of his own life in, comes up to him and kisses him on the cheek and then betrays him and gives him over to the religious leaders. As Jesus is being dragged and chained to the high priest, Jesus knew that in just a few hours, even his own father, God himself, will turn his back on him, will abandon him, leaving him alone for the very first time in all eternity. And as he's looking down at his mother, Jesus remembers that he was born in a manger, with hay, with animals, and all the smells that go with it. This is a reminder to us that no matter how humble our beginnings are, no matter how much of the world's stuff we don't have, God will use us, no matter our background, our upbringing, or even our mistakes, if we would just make ourselves available to him. Jesus remembers. He remembers his disciples, fishermen, tax collectors, physicians, men with limited education and some questionable backgrounds. And Jesus looks at these men, not as they were, but with his help, what they have and will later become. This is a reminder for us that God is not looking for perfection. He doesn't need people with a lot of talent or personality. He just wants people that are ready to follow him. Then, of course, there's the thief on the cross. Jesus is in agony, and he knows that the worst is yet to come. Yet he's willing to take time for a man that needs him. He makes himself available to meet a need. This is a reminder to us that God always has time for us. No matter how busy he may be or how much is going on in his day, no matter what our need is, Jesus is not only willing, but able to meet every need and any need that we have. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. today as we remember the greatest memorial, the cross. Before we begin to think about what we will do this weekend or what we're going to do as soon as we get out of this service, we need to be grateful for what we received. We received a gift of love, an everlasting love, not based on who we are, but a love totally based on who God is. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Jesus grimaces as a soldier thrusts a sword into his side. There's a song that Judy sings. It says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. See, Jesus knows about your shortcomings. He knows about my shortcomings. He knows my lack and your lack of boldness. He knew the sins that I would commit. And he even knew about those times that I would be too embarrassed to be associated with him. Yet, he stayed on the cross to save me. Jesus struggles. He's pushing up, trying to get that last breath. And Satan watches with glee as Jesus says, "It is finished." And then closes his eyes and dies. Jesus has taken what we deserve. Jesus has done nothing wrong. We are guilty, and he is innocent. We are filthy, and he is perfect. We are all wrong, and he is all right. He is not on the cross for his sins. He's there for ours. And when we do not take the time for him, when we are too busy for him, when we don't make him part of our day, God will not forget us. He's never too busy for us. So he waits. He waits until we come to him. When difficulties come into our lives, remember Jesus. When disappointments and discouragement rear their ugly heads, remember Jesus. When your tears will not stop flowing, when fear wants to overtake your heart, when death is staring you in the face, remember Jesus. We have a Heavenly Father who is at his best when you and I are at our weakest. A Father who loves to show off his grace when we don't think that we can continue. The writer of Hebrews tells us this. He said, we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Drift away from what? Drift away from the cross. Drift away from Jesus. Stability in life's troubles only can come when we as believers remember Jesus. Remember who he is. Remember what he does. Remember how he loves. The greatest memorial of all time is when God gave his life so that you and I could live. good memorials. Those are memorials that people make for us, maybe our parents, or the veterans that we were remembering today. Better memorials. Are memorials that you and I create for those people that follow us, our friends, our spouses, our kids, our families. But the greatest memorial of all is the cross. And can I say this morning, if you've missed the cross, you've missed it all. Because without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the cross, there is no resurrection. Without the cross, there is no way to God. So my encouragement to you this morning is if you're a follower of Christ, live your life like you're a follower of Christ. And if you're not a follower of Christ this morning, my encouragement to you is this. Go back to the greatest memorial of all. Because without this memorial, life is not worth living. Stand with me as we